World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Oh Lord, let the words of our lip and the meditation of our heart be pleasing in your sight today, and you be glorified through all we do here in Jesus' name. You know, here's the truth. I need about 4 hours this morning. I guess it's the curse of what they call weekend. Because over the course of a weekend, I get so much energy built up. Things are moving so fast. There's a lot going on. Come in here on Monday morning and, man, try to pull this whole thing together. And then I don't want to apologize. It's not an apology, but I'm literally doing two shows here at once. I do the live show. Those of you who are watching on the Patriot Party News and a lot of other different places, it's a live show at 7 a.m. But at the same time, we are taping this show to play on the Brighteon Network at 11 a.m. So I'm juggling a lot of things. And a couple of really, really strong issues that I deal with here, folks, at Coach Dave Live, this show. And I want you to be aware of it. We are a national ministry with national impact. I'm not patting myself on the back, bragging. I'm just telling you, we are. We have people who are part of our network here. They're doing stuff all across the country. But at the same time, we have a local impact as well. And like this weekend, we had a Saturday Night Live event at, here in the Columbus, Ohio area. And we had about, 23 people showed up, and it was good. And we're going to expand those numbers. And we're going to build from that. And I want to be able to have a local impact and a national impact. We want to be able to help you get more actively involved in your faith. And one of our buddies, Jeff, in the pre-show talked about he's tired of hearing pastors and churches and Christians saying, well, God's in control. God's in control, which is really, I mean, he is, right? He is in control. It's like me during a football game when I'm coaching our team, saying, oh, well, Gary's a quarterback. Gary's in control. No, Gary isn't. Gary is in control because he's on the field, but I'm in control. And sometimes Gary doesn't do what he's supposed to do. And that's really what we're about here at Coach Dave Live, Pass the Salt Ministries. And I got a million things I'm going to try to throw on the plate here today because I think they're really, really important. In fact, man, I'd love to lead it into a deeper teaching that a lot of people need, but I don't know if we have time to do it. So bear with me. Issue number one, as we pull it up here, I almost said the wrong thing. We got to do a prayer. Craig came up with a prayer for us at the Liberty Action Network. And we're going to pray that prayer every day. We've been talking about praying it over the prayer of remembrance and protection from April 19th to May 2nd, right? By the way, today's officially Passover. We're going to get into that here in a second as well, friends. But I want to open up by praying this prayer. So if you would just join me in an attitude of prayer. Father, we praise and honor you, Lord Jesus. You lifted up and sit on the right hand of the Father. And as we approach Passover this year, which begins tonight, we call upon your name to be honored and lifted up high. The beautiful story of God's redemptive plan for mankind before the creation of the earth. As we remember your sacrifice on the cross of Calvary during this year's upcoming Passover celebration, almost 2,000 years ago, we as your body of believers come and pray in unison, asking for your spirit to move mightily upon the earth from April 19th to May 2nd. We are in a precarious time as war looms over the Middle East, the lands of Israel, and confusion and conflict overwhelms the Holy Land at this time. And the very Prince of Peace, your Lord Jesus, are not positioned in the hearts of minds of world leaders across the earth. Yet as you stated in John chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. Psalm 2 states, why do the heathen rage, nations rage, and people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against his anointed. And they're saying, let us break the bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. But he who sits in the heavens shall laugh. Father, as you laugh and distress them in your deep displeasure, Give your ecclesia the wisdom, strength, courage, boldness, and empowerment of your Holy Spirit to be in one accord in prayer, but also in action in the days ahead into the month of May, as the enemy, who are the rulers of this world, are brought to naught. We thank you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, your Son, and your perfect sacrifice to bring mankind back into relationship with you, our King, our hope, our salvation. Amen and amen. Yeah, we're in a spiritual war, baby. We're in a spiritual war. And sometimes I get bogged down because I get on the weekend. Sometimes I get on the computer. And anybody else have trouble getting off of that same thing sometimes? I do, because I get in there and I wish it had the computer back and the internet back when I was in college. Oh, man, the research papers would have been a lot easier back then if we'd had those, wouldn't we? So let me double back or circle back around here real quickly to, again, folks, bear with me because I'm doing the live show right now and taping segments of this also for a show at Brighteon. So bear with me if it's a little bit choppy here this morning. We had the Saturday night event. God bless Mel for opening up their place and gave us the opportunity to fellowship together 22, maybe. I didn't get a real firm count. And we have to begin to understand that we have to, we got to pull together, folks. We got to get all on the same page. We had a great event. We're going to do another one in 2 weeks. We would love for you to come and bring somebody with you, a local event. Yeah, Mel, close to 30 people. And we would like to double it. We'd like to quadruple it. Saturday Night Live. And as our friend Chad says, we pick up where the church left off. And one of the things that we spoke about on Saturday night was the natural family month. And we're going to jump in that into a second. But before I get into that too deeply, I'm going to bring Mr. Zero in here. Craig, talk to us real briefly, Craig, because today does in fact begin Passover. Passover, the biblical Passover begins today, April 22nd at sundown. Are you out there, Craig?
Hey, Coach. Yes.
Walk us through that, brother.
Well, what's really neat about the Passover is it's really kind of two events, but they all culminate kind of to the same thing. It was the Passover that Moses, right, where the firstborn died at midnight, and the Egyptians said, hey, get out of here. And so the whole nation of Israel, the Hebrews, started leaving. They estimate almost up to 1 million people. And, of course, we know the story, and they wandered into the desert. But that was just a prefiguration of what Jesus would do. He was trying to explain that he would be the sacrifice because they ate a lamb that night, right? At the Passover, and they put the blood of the lamb over the doorpost. And if you do that properly at the top and on the sides, guess what it makes? A cross. And of course, almost, about 1400 years later, Jesus would be that Passover lamb sacrifice on the exact Passover event.
And so that's what that begins. Passover begins tonight. I'm one of the worst. I could have a debate. We can argue all we want to over the feast days and are we supposed to obey them? We could go back and forth and really could. But it's pretty significant, folks, that this is on the original calendar. This is when Passover began, and so we just honor that this morning. And I know many of you do participate and keep Passover, and we just honor you, join with you in that.
Hey, could I just say one more thing, Coach? Because remember back when Veterans Day was always November 11th, right? And then the federal government said, well, hey, let's make it a three-day holiday for the government workers, and we'll put it on Monday. And the veterans were like, well, wait a minute. The war ended on November 11th. Veterans Day is November 11th, whether it's Saturday, Monday, or Thursday. And that's how we need to keep our mindset about what Passover is and how to honor.
Very well said.
The sacrifice of Christ.
They took many of our holidays and they put them on Mondays so that we could make three-day holidays out of them. That's exactly what they did. And certainly we've lost the real true meaning of what Passover is. So it begins tonight. God bless those of you who are keeping. Amen. Amen. I want to bring in JR and Mel are really kind of two things because, again, folks, please bear with me here. We're trying to do a national program with local impact or featuring local impact. So sometimes people are watching, say, I'm not really interested in that. Well, you should be, because some of the things that we're doing can be replicated. You can do it right where you live. And I could get into Randy and the staking and all the wonderful thing that's going on like that. But I want at Saturday Night Live, some of us that were there, we made the determination when we left there that we were going to get involved promoting the Natural Family Month. So JR is going to talk to us about it. Mel's going to talk to us about it, because we have it up on the website. So Mel, come on in first and let's talk a little bit about Natural Family Month.
Yeah, so it's our big action right now. So, you know, I worked with J.R. Harrison last year. We helped to support this event. And it's a great event because, I mean, most everybody agrees on it. So, you know, it's a great way to build coalitions wherever you are. My plan was to go to the mayor of my little town here, and I did. And so I'm working with him to get a proclamation. And then I'm just going to start going to churches, organizations, local businesses, and, you know, just take a sign with me, take some information and, you know, ask them if they'd like to join in, you know, standing up for the family. And it's just a great action. So I encourage everybody to participate, and I'm sure JR will give you some more details.
Thank you, Mel, for all you do, and you and Chris for opening up your place on Saturday. And we're going to do it again, folks. We're going to do it again. It wasn't church, folks. We didn't have church. We had fellowship, and we talked about actions and getting involved and all that. We do not want to replace your local church. Pastors, take a deep breath. We don't want to replace your local church, but we want to impact your local church. We don't deny that. And so we think that as Chad says, we pick up where the church left off. And we should be winning many of these cultural battles that we're in, and we're not. Boy, am I busting to get to what I really want to talk about today. But before I do, let's bring in Jim Harrison, who's head of the Natural Family and Natural Family Month. And JR, explain to us. Folks, look, those local people, I have signs. I ordered 90 signs. I gave some of them away the other night. If you need signs to put up, we have them. Okay, go ahead, JR. I don't hear you. Does anybody else hear JR?
Sorry about that. As goes the family, so goes the nation. And in case you haven't noticed, the family in America is absolutely positively broken. We've got a 50% divorce rate. We have no fault divorce. I mean, you get into a relationship and you got one foot out the door before you ever get in. And what we're trying to do is to get people to recognize the critical importance of the family. And we take this from a child standpoint, Coach. If you could design an ideal situation to bring up a child, it would be one biologically born man, father, one biologically born woman, mother, in a lifelong committed monogamous relationship. The child needs that. A child has an inherent need for a mother and a father. And they know the difference, male and female, and they get different things from those two individuals.
And so JR, I grew up in a regular home with a mom and a dad. Yep. And I thought everybody had one until I ran into one of my friends at school. I was in like the third grade or something. And I went home, said something to my mom, and she said, "Well, honey, their parents are divorced." It was like having scabs on your face. Nobody got divorced back then, right?
Yep.
And so it was the natural thing that people did. One mom, one dad, and a family.
Yeah. I did not have that, Coach. I came from a broken family. And when that happens, when you, I'll call it a spiritual law that you need that mother and father. When you remove one of them from the family, and if you don't believe me, go to the prison systems, interview the prisoners, and ask them about their family life. They're going to tell you, for the most part, that they only had one parent there, and likely that was the mother. And the father was gone. And you spend your entire life trying to fill that vacuum that is missing from having that father gone in the house or having that mother gone in the house. And then when you break up, when you have a divorce, well, you have two sides and both sides don't like each other. So you're going to hear it from one parent, and you're going to hear something different from another parent. And you've got children out there that don't know a parent because the one parent has poisoned them. But that's getting off a little bit.
We get that, JR. So what are we going to do about it?
Well, what we're doing is recommending that cities, churches, but cities in particular proclaim the importance of the natural family. And we have proclamations on the site. If you go to the naturalfamilystrong.com, you'll see a section.
We have Gay Pride Month, the entire month of June.
Right.
Celebrates this tiny minority of people. Is that it, JR?
Yeah. Well, but we're celebrating the exception to the rule. It'd be like having a month for divorcees. Okay. Yeah. We're going to have an entire month for divorcees instead of celebrating the wholesome, the best practice, if you will. That's what we're talking about, celebrating the best practice of the family. And we're well out of practice. So where there's no vision, the people perish, and we're casting the vision of the natural family. We're trying to get mayors to make proclamations of the natural family. And from Mother's Day to Father's Day, five Sundays, you're going to be celebrating. The first week will be Mother's Week. The second week will be Children's Week, and then Grandparents Week and Extended Family Week. And then you end on Father's Day week. And Coach, this is the most inclusive celebration that you could possibly have. It leaves nobody out. I don't care. I don't care what you identify as. You are still somebody's child, or you're somebody's parent.
Natural family. You had a natural mommy and a natural daddy, no matter where you came from, right?
Yep, exactly. Exactly. So it's
so JR, one of the things that we're going to fight against in this initiative, folks, the reason we're spending so much time on it today is JR has worked really hard at this. We're launching a national, we want to have national impact with local action, right? You and your local church, get your pastor, your local government to proclaim it Natural Family Month. We have signs. I have signs available. We can show you where you can get signs. And that's one of the easiest places to begin, is to post a sign, Natural Family Month. And people will begin to ask about, what's this? And then one of the things JR was talking about is we want to be able to get little local towns. Ray LeBlanc is working hard up there in, amazing. I never remember the name of your town, Ray. I'm sorry. He's working really, really hard to try to get his city mayor, city council, to proclaim it Natural Family Month. Folks, this shouldn't offend anybody. We're just merely asking for our place at the table as well. Would you agree with that, JR? Have I said it right?
Well, yeah, we're not. And again, this is a positive move. We're always found complaining about this and that and the other. And I guess rightfully so, but wrongfully so, because we haven't done anything in the first place. And then when something bad happens, we complain about it. Well, we didn't do anything in the first place. This is an opportunity to take a positive move and let the other folks be the complainers for once.
Melka, can you go? Where is a picture of the new poster that we have, JR? Where on that website would we?
It's probably on Mel's. The webmaster. I was going to have him change a few things. Yeah, there you go.
Okay, you don't have to apologize. So JR has the Natural Family signs, but we have specifically the Natural Family Month signs, and it's somewhere here on this website. Too bad. I thought this is just going to be easy for us to pop up. But we have the signs available, folks, and we can get them made for you pretty quickly.
There you go. That's not the sign.
But we're celebrating Natural Family Month, launching that initiative May 12th. Mother's Day to Father's Day is what we're doing. Sorry, we don't have the signs up there. Roger Weaver, come on in, Roger. Did you take your hand down?
No, Dave, I was just going to say about Saturday Night Live. Great success, good getting off the foundation. Want to implore people who are in the Central Ohio area to join us in 2 weeks. I think we're going up again in 2 weeks.
That's right.
And Natural Family was highlighted, maybe highlighted again. But in 2 weeks, we're going to be up rolling again.
That's right. Thank you. Love to have you come. And again, picking up where the church left off, we'd love some pastors to come and join us. Can pastors come and join us, see what's going on, take it back to your congregation. But we're here to help you, Pastor. We're here to help you. We're here to help everyone. I got so much stuff I want to jump into here. JR, anything else? We can talk about this more later, but they can find out more at naturalfamilystrong.com. Naturalfamilystrong.com. Put that in the chat for me there, Jonathan. Yep.
And if they go to promise, and if they take the promise, you can leave your name and address, and we can get back with you and give you more details in terms of what you can do in your local community.
Amen, Jay. I appreciate it. Johnny, how much time do I have here? I don't have my clock running. I said I was going to sit and I didn't get it set for us. All right, just got a minute and a half. When I come back, I'm busting inside. Real quickly, Johnny, pull up OSA. OSA. Operation Save America is in Cincinnati, Ohio this week. I'm going to try to get down there. Michelle and I are going to try to get down. It's where I cut my teeth. Operation Save America, they do street ministry, abortion clinics, all that stuff. It's going on this week. Now, any of you out there who would be interested in going for a day and a half, I got a busy week, to be honest with you. But I'm going to go down and be part of it. In fact, they're meeting with some of our legislators in the State House regarding abortion. The fact that there is no constitutional right to kill a baby. There is none anymore, folks. And the church hasn't done anything about it. So Operation Save America is going on in Cincinnati, Ohio. Begins Thursday, I think. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The dates are up. Everything's popping around so quick. Maybe I'm not quite as organized on my end as what I ought to be. When we come back, I'm gonna take you through an email that I got. Oh yeah. Yeah, an email that I got. And we're gonna try to break this thing down a little bit. See exactly what y'all think about that. So hang in there a second there, and we'll be right back. Did I do okay on that, Johnny? Okay, bud. Can we get going here again? Okay, folks, here we go. Again, bear with me here as I try to do two things at once. Three, two, okay. All right, welcome back, folks. Okay, so now listen, I got to share something with you. I believe we're supposed to be involved. I believe we're supposed to be involved in the culture. I believe our ministry is pass the salt. Now, why pass the salt? Because pass the salt comes from Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, which says, you are the salt of the earth. But the salt loses its savor, it's henceforth good for nothing, except to be cast out and trodden under foot of men. So when we started our ministry, we called it Pass the Salt, because we saw when we got sued by the American Civil Liberties Union back in 1990, whenever, a long time ago, the church was good for nothing. The church just let them run right over the top of prayer in our public school. The church didn't get involved. Some of the pastors said I was a lawbreaker because I didn't obey Romans 13, yada, 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 yada. You with me, folks? I want you to see two verses today, and I'm going to take you to an email that blew me away. First one, Johnny, pull up, says right under the cultural war, King James Bible Online, Mark 16. Pull that up there. Now, friends, I'm going to read this to preface what I'm going to share with you here. Excuse me. Still got a hacking cough. I don't know. Pull that steam deck down out there, John. I don't know what that's all about on my screen. So I'm going to read from you here. Mark 16, 15. What is that thing sticking up on there? There you go. Mark 16, you ready? And after that, he appeared in another form unto them as they walked, and he went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue. What the heck is this? Huh? Neither believed by them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11. And as they sat at meat, he upbraided them. Think about that a minute. We don't think about Jesus upbraiding people, do we? By the way, this isn't the King James. I don't know which one I sent you, Johnny. I'm sorry. But he upbraided them with their unbelief and their hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, hey, dudes, will you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Now, time out. We don't even know what that means. We don't even know what the gospel is anymore. It says, he that believeth is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, was he lying to us, friends? Was he lying to us? I don't know. But his good buddy Matthew did the same thing. What did Matthew say? Matthew said, and Matthew 8:19-80, go ye therefore. Who's he talking to? He's talking to Willis. Go ye into all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. What? Go and teach them. Will you please go and teach them who? Just in our Sunday schools? Just in our churches? Just in our little prayer groups? No, go into all the world, all nations. Nations meaning ethnicities, ethnic groups. Go teach the Jews, go teach the Greeks, go teach them all, will you? Go teach them all, everything that I've taught you, and I'm going to be with you because it's going to be hard. They're not going to like you. They're going to hate you, yada, 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 yada. Okay? It's pretty clear to me. So I say that to you because I get this email. Johnny, it's a standalone email. And I think the person who sent it to me, because I'd just written a commentary on dementia, Christian dementia. Johnny, it's a standalone email. I think it says culture on it. Do you see it? Because I get these kind of emails all the time, and I don't always get a chance to be able to respond to them. Did I send that to you, John? I'm sure I did. You're looking for it, and I'm looking for it too, by the way. Oh, come on, Coach, where is that thing? Because if I can't find this, oh, there it is. Oh, there it is, I think, John. Oh, Coach Johnny, I'm sorry. Now you got it, brother. Just send it to you. I made it and forgot to. So I'm taking this email, and I get these kind of emails regularly, folks, okay? And I try to, listen to me a second. If you send me an email, I try to dialogue back and forth. But I don't get, look, I respond maybe once, maybe twice. I don't have time to get into internet debates on what has happened in the culture and society. Did you get that, John? Okay, good. He got it. So I'm going to show you a copy of a give and take email that I had with some probably very precious woman out there after she read my commentary, Cultural Dementia. John is getting it up there. Okay. Now, friends, I've given you the initial one, and then I'm going to get here. Okay, so here it is. Dear Coach, we never read in the New Testament of Jesus or any of the apostles expending any time or energy schooling believers on how to reform the pagan world. Is this lady drunk? What does she think the book of Acts is, by the way? Anyway, expending any time or energy schooling believers on how to reform the pagan world of its idolatrous and moral corrupt practices being the government. This is an email I received, folks. Instead, the apostles commanded the first century Christians, as well as us today, to proclaim the gospel and live lives that give clear evidence to the gospel's transforming power. I agree. The will of God permeates and supersedes every aspect of our life. It is God's will that takes precedent over everything else and everyone. God's plans and purposes are and his will is inviolable. What he has purposed, he will bring to pass, and no government can thwart his will. I don't disagree with any of that. Paul tells us in Romans 13 that it is the government's responsibility to rule and authority over us, hopefully for our good, collect taxes, keep peace, where we have a voice and can elect our leaders and should exercise the right by voting for those who best demonstrate Christian principles. I agree. But you appear to be redefining scriptural truths. The rapture of the church, for instance, to accommodate cultural, really? Jesus warned us in Matthew that not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father who sent me. Men will say to me on the day, Lord, Lord, then I never knew you. Okay, I get it. So the church's unique God-given purpose does not lie in political activism. What? What? Nowhere in Scripture do we have the directive to sin, spend our energy, our time, our money in governmental affairs.
What?
Our mission lies not in changing the nation through political reform, but in changing hearts through the Word of God. When believers think the growth and influence of Christ can somehow be allied with government policy, they corrupt the mission of our church. Our Christian mandate is to spread the gospel of Christ and to preach against the sins of our time. Only as the hearts of individuals in the culture are changed by Christ will the culture begin to reflect that change. I'm scratching my head as I'm reading this. My ears are going, whoom, 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 whoom. And then I respond, well, man, what about the souls that are being destroyed right before us as we wait on the rapture? I would never coach a team that didn't fight till the end. Our goal is to expand the kingdom of God, not sit around and wait to be raptured. And then she responds. Remember, I respond once, maybe twice. Any Christian who's with his or her salt does not neglect the Great Commission As an ex-Catholic, I'm constantly bringing up the need for salvation in my family, many of whom are still involved with the Cat Church. I also spend a significant amount of time on a website called Quora, compromised mainly of occultists, atheists, Catholic Jehovah's Witnesses, spreading lies. I confront them in the most loving possible way. I have a Facebook page where I keep my friends informed. I truly believe that our President Donald Trump has been used by God to show power. The liberal left does not care what they do to Trump, and only to see him rot in jail. It's very unsettling. We must keep our eye on Jesus. Politics will not save us, and I find strength in knowing that God is in control. Our future does not look bright right now. In real time, we're seeing the effects of a world going completely mad. Soros-funded prosecutors, crooked attorneys, yada, yada, yada. But, okay, you get it? You get it? So God has set this whole thing up so it'll just get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse, and then we'll get out of here, and Coach Dave just preached the gospel. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. This is the response of probably, somebody help me out here, 80% of the American church.
Amen.
God's in control. Isn't anything we could do about it? In other words, it shouldn't bother me that in my schools, they're teaching my neighbor's child that he can cut off his ding-a-ling. That shouldn't bother me. I'm not my brother's keeper. It shouldn't bother me, Christian. I shouldn't get involved in the schools where they're teaching children that they came from monkeys. I shouldn't get involved in that. I shouldn't get involved in schools where they're teaching atheistic humanism. I shouldn't get involved. Friends, this is the American church. This is what we're dealing with. Now, hang on. This lady's probably a very, very sweet, committed Christian. She's very genuine, very sincere, but sincerely wrong.
Amen.
That's what we're dealing with, folks. That's what we're dealing with. That's what they're dealing with. And why is it? I guess we could play the why is it game all we want to. How did we get into this point? And this is our need for Saturday Night Live to go impact people who go back and impact their churches. I want to open it up. Somebody, I want to hear from somebody. Somebody help me. What do we do about this mentality, which I would say 80% of Christians hold? Come on in, Craig.
Well, it was kind of my mindset too several years ago, but then I read something. The Bible changed my mind about it, Coach. When Paul was getting ready to get, you know, in some bad shape, he goes, but I'm a Roman citizen. Okay. He pulled the Roman citizen card. All right. We have to go back and say, what would the Bible look like if the apostles lived in a republic that they could actually vote and influence the government and the culture through their vote? They didn't live in that environment. They lived under a very authoritative environment. We're in a completely different situation. What makes the United States different? We live in the government of the people by the people. They lived under a king, under Caesar.
Right.
And we should use all avenues to affect the culture, the government, because we have a right to do it.
And but we're the salt of the earth, Craig. We're the salt of the earth. It's what we're commanded to do.
Well, what I'm saying is she's thinking in a mindset of 2,000 years ago under Caesar. We have a republic kind of democracy government that you're allowed to participate in. Amen. The government.
I'll get into all that, Craig. I'm going to get into it. Jack, come on in.
That her philosophy is the reason, is a perfect example of the reason why 100 million people have died.
Oh, Jack, millions of Christians don't vote. Right?
Millions of Christians aren't.
Millions of Christians aren't. Jack is right. Because what? We believe the government, obey the government. Millions of Christians are now dead from the jab. Amen, Jack. Dale.
Well, I think the prophetic word is actually fulfilled in the scripture. Matthew 7, 13 and 14 says this: enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. Coach, when we sit on our hands and do nothing, we are setting people up to that wide, broad path to the destruction of hell. When it says to go into all the earth, that means isn't Washington, D.C. part of the earth? Oh, isn't our school systems on the earth? I mean, is it another planet? Coach, this is wide. It's fulfilled because we refuse to do nothing.
So that's what I, how much time do I have, Johnny? I'm sorry. Well, geez, I knew I was going to get into this deep. I knew I was. Come on in, Randy. Then everybody hold off for a minute. I want to show you something.
Real okay, quick. Coach, Proverbs 29, 1 through 4, especially verses 2, it says that when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people mourn. God's word's not contradictory, Coach. I mean, if this same verse is in the Bible and in Romans 13, it's not in contradiction. Craig is right on. The people of God, the righteous people, should be in authority, and that would solve a lot of these problems. And there's nothing wrong with us ruling.
That's right. We're supposed to be. Okay, so pull up for me real quickly. What is the kingdom? I'm going to try to run through this as quickly as I can, and I would love. Hey, listen, folks, if you're watching right now on the Patriot Party Network or you're watching someplace else, I'm going to be done here in about 5 minutes on that platform. If you would flip immediately to CoachDaveLive.com, CoachDaveLive.com, you can follow the rest of it. Another, I got 20 more minutes here. I'm going to do this. CoachDaveLive.com, okay? You can follow us there after this live broadcast begins. So what's a kingdom? What is a kingdom? Because we're talking, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto us, right? So Jesus, a kingdom, what is a kingdom? To understand the kingdom of God, we need a basic understanding of an earthly kingdom and how it operates. An earthly kingdom is a territory or domain governed by a king or a queen. That is a kingdom. He has absolute authority and influence over a people and has a responsibility to his subjects for their well-being. His dominion and authority are absolute. By the way, Jesus Christ is, what is he? Somebody help me out here. Huh? He's the king of kings. He's the king of all kings. Is that right? Is a king above a prince? We hear about the prince of the power of the air, the god of this world. Is the king above them? I think he is. Every kingdom must have a king, but it's also true that every king is automatically a lord. A lord is defined as someone having power, authority, or influence, a master or a ruler. It is the quality of lordship that distinguishes a king from a president, a prime minister, or a mayor or governor. In fact, a king's lordship makes him different from any other kind of human leader. Lordship makes the king unique. Jesus Christ is Lord and King. The most common word in scripture is the word Lord. Scroll down, Johnny. Keep in mind that this word does not exist in democracy, socialist society, or republic, except for the word landlord. And that in reference to the one who owns and rents lands the other. A landlord is the only common remnant of kingdoms in modern government and Western societies. But this concept of lord is one of the fundamental principles of a kingdom. So the landlord owns the land. He's lord over all. He owns it all. Jesus Christ is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. The American government is subservient to the lordship of Christ. Church, do we get this? Do we get this? Keep this in mind. A king relates to dominion. When a lord relates to dominion, while a lord relates to domain, the word dominion refers to his authority. His power. The word domain refers to the territory, the property, the geographical area. A king exercises authority over a specific geographical area. Keep in mind, dominion refers to a king's authority, and a domain refers to his territory. So he's king over the earth. He's king of kings over the earth. He has, oh my goodness, good, isn't it? John, I feel like I'm running out of time. I feel like we should always remember that our big brother Jesus, how many? He also focused on the kingdom. All kingdoms have, scroll down real quick, John, because I'm running out of time. All kingdoms have a king and lord, a sovereign ruler, a territory and a domain, a constitution or royal covenant, a citizenry, a community of subjects. All kingdoms have law, accepted principles. All kingdoms have privileges, rights, and benefits, a code of ethics, acceptable lifestyles and conducts, an army for security, a commonwealth, economy, security, and a social culture, traditions, protocol, and procedures. We live in the kingdom of God. Do you get, folks, do you, church, do you get this? Jesus Christ is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's over every power, every dominion. There is no thing that has more authority than Jesus Christ. And for the American government to say that Jesus doesn't have anything to do with the government is tyranny.
Boom.
And the church lets it happen. In fact, we have people who send me emails saying, Coach Dave, we're supposed to obey. We're supposed to obey things that go contrary to what Christ said. We're supposed to obey those and teach those to our children. Are you people sick? Are you sick? Because you know why it is? They haven't taught us in our American churches the lordship of Jesus, the kingship of Jesus. All power has been given unto me. Isn't that what it says, Johnny? Matthew said in Matthew, all power been given unto me. Huh? All power. One verse before that, 18, I think it is. See if you find it in 18, John. John's doing a good job now yelling at him. Jesus came, spoke to them, said, hey, dudes, I'm in charge of everything. I'm in charge. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Of course God's in control. But you have dedicated authority, my friend. You are a member of the kingdom of God. You are a child of the king. You are a prince and a princess in the kingdom of God. And you have delegated power and authority given to you by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I don't know what the heck is wrong with the American church that we can't understand this. That everything going on is going on with the approval of the cowardly, scared, hiding American church. Somebody say amen. I feel
bad. Amen.
I defy you. I defy anybody to prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. Johnny, show me that clock. I don't even know what time it is. So I got to be close. Okay, good. I'm winding it up here for Brady on TV. So friends, this is what we deal with. This is what we deal with. When we did Saturday Night Live, and please come next time if you can, expand our numbers, and to look around. Bible says where two or more agree is touching any one thing. The power of agreement. Authority comes through agreement. I looked at the 20-some people sitting in that room last night and said, you know what? If we just picked any topic, we could have an unbelievable impact. Just the 20 of us in a room. If we started making phone calls and we started sending emails, we could change a lot of stuff just with 20 of us.
Look what Jesus did with 12.
Look what Jesus did with 12. Think about the church, how many churches there are. But the pastors don't work together. The pastors don't like each other. The pastors don't agree what play should be run. The pastors don't agree on how we should play the game. Pastors don't agree on anything. And so the thing that is supposed to be a body of Christ is nothing but just a bunch of amputated arms and legs laying all around in different places in town. And we call that the body of Christ. Any wonder we're getting our faces punched in. We want to use you, folks. Hey, 14 seconds. I'm going to go off the air. Go to CoachDaveLive.com right now. Click to CoachDaveLive.com, and you'll be able to see the rest of this that we're continuing for the next 17 minutes. God bless you. Thanks for joining us. All right. Hey, I'm telling you the truth. Come on in, Lorianne.
Just a thought. What about having huddles across the country, like creating huddles across.
Lord, how about this one? That's what Dave Scarlett's doing, and we're going to have we're going to merge. Yes,
you're going to because, like I shared with you before, I'm the regional commander for the central region for Dave Scarlett, and I said like having huddles for, you know, past assault. Would be something really cool across that's similar to the model to what they're doing with that.
I don't care if we merge with them. I don't care if we run it. I just want us all to get in the huddle. I don't care if he's the coach. Somebody coach us here. Somebody organize us and bring us together. That's where I am with it. So I'm not.
Yeah, just RT's going to talk to you about it.
All right, we'll do it. Craig, No, Artie. Artie's up before you, Craig. Go ahead, Artie.
Yeah, good morning, Coach.
Hey, Artie.
I just want to just say that we got authority in Christ, and we the people should be calling the shots here, not the government.
That's right.
You know, we look back to the original Constitution of 1787. That's the original Constitution for the United States of America, and that's what we have to stand on. That's we stand on His word as well, too, to get the things that we need, things that we – to cause the government to function the way we would want it to function. We have the authority to do it.
So, Artie, that email that I read, I wasn't making fun of her because she at least had the boldness to write me the email. That, I'm telling you, that represents 80% of Christianity. We got Christians that don't even vote.
Yeah, it's true.
So we're not taking dominion, are we? Because we don't believe we're supposed to. We believe, friends, I hate to keep kicking your theology. We believe we get taken out of here. Right? Why would we take dominion if we're getting taken out of here? Now, hang on. If we are getting taken out of here, good. I like to be in control when we are. Anybody else like to be, huh? Subdue the earth? Aren't we supposed to subdue it? Did I miss something? Are we supposed to submit? Are we supposed to give in? Are we supposed to roll over? Or are we supposed to subdue the earth? I think we are. Craig.
Well, if we do get taken out of here, I just want to find that I'm working. Here's the cool thing about this, Coach, and you're really hitting on a thing. If you really look at any of the prayers that I wrote, I always talk about being in one accord. And that's the power of it. And this is what JR's doing. This was Mel's trying to do. This is what I'm trying to do. You know, calling to the people, be a one accord of these six things that we can at least come into agreement in. And then the thing that we need to really focus in is what you can find agreement with someone. Keep that focus. Don't get into tangents, because this is what the devil's going to do. He's going to bring in this, or he's going to bring rapture. He's going to bring whatever it is, right? And then you're going to get in these sidetracks. That's his way of taking you out, bringing dissension in this coalition that you found, right? And so if we can really just focus and say, Lord, in this direction, I've found agreement. It's a godly thing. Help me push it through locally and maybe even have a national impact. If you can keep that, and the Lord will be behind you.
Hey, Roger Weaver, you out there, Roger, or Eileen, either one of them, yeah. Could one of you out there explain, Roger, could you explain to me what is power of attorney? Maybe Roger slept in this morning. I thought I saw him. Eileen, power of attorney?
Power of attorney is when you designate somebody to act in your place.
Was when you designate someone with a legal authority to act in your place. Isn't that what Jesus did? Didn't Jesus say, all power and authority has been given unto me, and I'm going to sign a document giving power of attorney to you? Eileen, would you say that's safe? That's what he did?
Amen.
Absolutely.
Why don't we exercise it, folks? Why does the church act like we have no authority? We've yielded it all to Luciferian government. It's been stolen from us. And what's the church say? That's all right. Well, we're just going to get out of here anyway. They can have it. We're leaving. What an attitude. Now, look, every time I do this, I get emails. People say, there you go again, making fun of the rapture. Folks, I ain't making fun of the rapture. If there's a rapture, I'm going. But I'm going to go with a hammer in my hand and a sickle on the other. I'm going to be working when the rapture. I'm not going to be hiding. Randy.
So, Coach, what's the problem we have? We have a problem in our theology. We don't want to recognize that we are the attorneys of God on the earth, okay? Right. If you think it's in the future, then I can't help you. But if you understand, Jesus said, I give you all power, all authority now. So you have to get out of your thinking. So we could do a little study here, Coach, in about 2 minutes. And it's 1 Corinthians 15:45. And Romans 5:14, and Paul wrote both of these to both of these churches, and Paul is not in contradiction. And here, what does he say in 1 Corinthians 15:45? He says that Adam, the first Adam, was a life-giving spirit. The second Adam, who he's referring to as Christ, is a spiritual. He has all authority, Coach. He's the second Adam.
Right.
Okay. He's a quickening spirit. So we improved here. God took us from natural to spiritual to superiority. Okay. We have authority, in other words, Coach, through Christ.
Amen. So,
okay. Now we established that, Coach. And if you now go to Romans 5:14, or 5:14, and what Paul is showing there is that Adam gave up his authority. That's what he sinned. He transgressed the law. But what really happened? He gave up his authority, and the loose Satan took over, basically. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them who had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Now look at this. Who is the figure of him that was to come? He's already referring to the second Adam, which was Christ. So because of Christ, Coach, we have the authority. We have the right to be an attorney for who? For the kingdom of God, Coach.
Amen.
He transferred it to us. Now, this isn't for heaven. We don't need any of this in heaven.
We're
on the earth. We have to understand God didn't. Adam lost. He lost authority over the land, the sea, and the air. What is Christ? What is he? He took authority over the land, over the sea, and over the air. Everything. That is who we are now.
Even this kind lady who sent me the email says God's in control. She doesn't get it.
But he handed it off to his sons, Coach.
As my friend Tom Gill would say, God's in control, but he doesn't control everything. He doesn't micromanage everything. He gave us dominion. He gave us power. He gave us authority. He said, all power's been given unto me. Here, dudes, you're in charge. Go make disciples. Teach them to observe all I've commanded you. And I'm going to be right with you. Because why? Because the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside of us. Now that he went back, he could be in us. That's the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Father, Son went back to heaven, sent the Holy Ghost. He that was with us is in us. He said, greater things shall you do because I'm going back to my dad. Church! Craig.
Well, I think the other thing is we have such incomplete teaching. There are principalities locally over your area of dark forces. Ephesians says we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but powers, principalities, spiritual hosts, and high places. Okay, so we have a great impact to be able to take, like what Randy's done, or staking, and the different things that we've done as a group and individually. We are in this war. Okay, the Lord's going to be the one that really finishes it off, but we are required to take and exercise that authority over our own localities.
So, Craig, I'm reminded of the guys who went to Vietnam. Didn't mean to interrupt. I do it on purpose. The guys who went to Vietnam used to say that one of my buddies who was in Vietnam said, never made any sense. It never made any sense. You take a hill one day and you give it back the next day. And see, we occupy, we win ground, but then we give it back. We don't occupy it. He said, occupy till I win. He said, take that hill and keep that hill. We don't. We take it and give it back. Take it and give it back. Take it and give it back. Look at what's going on in the Middle East. How many fights, how many people have died in the Middle East? We take it and give it back. Take it and give it back. Take it and give it back. Occupy means to remain in control. Johnny.
Yeah, and also, could it be possible that we do it to glorify ourselves instead of to glorify the Lord?
Mm-hmm. Hey, John, do you think it's his will that babies are getting slaughtered? Do you think it's his will that little boys and girls are having sex changes? Does anybody out there think it would be God's will that godly men would be locked up in jail? Do you think guys who are locked up on J6 are praying, well, God, you're in control? Do you think they're praying that? I think they're praying, God, you're in control. Get me out of here. Will you get me out of here if you're in control? Hey, church, could we get those guys out? Well, yeah, we could. But we're not going to get him out because, well, coach, it's just like God's in control. It's just like he said it's going to be. Just going to get, well, it's going to be a lot of people suffer, coach. It's just too bad, but we'll be out of here soon. That's the attitude of 80% of Christians. Dale.
Well, coach, not to throw stones at people, but here's a simple question that just it makes it look so hypocritical. If we feel that we're not to get involved in government, then why did we get involved in World War II with what Hitler was doing to those people in the concentration camps? Because remember the Nuremberg trial was these guys, hey, it became a law. It was law. So we're just supposed to obey these laws of what man made, right? So then you look at them and say, so you think that murdering a baby is okay? No, it should be unlawful, right? Well, wait a minute. This is what Hitler was doing. Do you see the nonsense in that kind of thinking?
Yes. You know what it is, Dale? It's love of this world. It's love of this world. You know, I got to share this with you. My wife showed me this morning. Two of my grandkids stayed all night last night. They lived at the top of the hill. They stayed at Granny, Grandpa, and Gigi's last night. And David, the 8-year-old, made a little sign. Remember how when you were a kid, you would write to the end of the sentence and the word would be, you'd run out of paper and then you'd have to come back and add it back on there. And little David, 8 years old, said, I'm paraphrasing, I love staying at Gigi and Grampy's. And it was like an 8-year-old, right? And I thought, damn, I got to fight for that boy. I got to fight for that boy. Anybody feel that for me? That innocent little guy? I don't have an obligation to fight for him. I don't have an obligation to fight for my neighbor's little boy who's being taught doctrines of devils in schools. We're paying for them and we don't care. So, well, I'll pull him out and homeschool him. Well, good. God bless you. Pull him out and homeschool him. But you're paying to do it to somebody else's kid, which is worse. Church doesn't want anything to do with any of that. Doesn't want anything to do with that. Come to our building. We'll worship the Lord and we'll all go home and we'll act like everything's just fine. And soon we'll all be out of here. Artie.
Coach, I think we're all being lied
to. Yeah, speak up. I can't hear you, Artie. Can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Barely.
Okay. How about now?
I think Artie's got something really good to say, but I can't hear him.
Okay, how about now?
I keep yelling.
Okay. Yeah, we've been lied to, Coach, you know, and it's like I was talking to somebody last week. I said, you wait and see after that skirmish with Israel and Iran. That you wait and see now. Congress is going to get going, and they're going to send $1 billion over there.
Yeah, Christians don't have any money sending money over there, do they? We don't have any money paying for that war. Keep going.
But the caveat, Coach, is that they're going to tax the future United States citizens' labor as collateral to monetize that debt. They don't tell you that, do they?
No, they don't tell you that. No. No, doesn't matter because it's all about Israel, man. Huh? They tell us that, right? And you know what I'm going to have? I ran into at our Saturday Night Live event, Peter, the Russian, and his brother came, Christians from Russia, who are here in Columbus, and I know them. You know what they told me? Ukraine's full of Christians. Ukraine is full of Christians. Russia's full of Christians. Christians in Russia. Christians in Ukraine. And we're paying money to the Ukraine to kill Christians in Russia. Because why? The governments are wicked. See? The governments are wicked. The kings of this earth have set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. And Peter told me that Putin is certainly more Christian than Biden. We don't know how deep a Christian Putin is, but we promise you this, he's more Christian than Joe Biden. Huh? That's from Russians. In fact, how about this? His mother was Ukrainian. His dad was Russian. Just different countries. Be like being from Canada and the United States. That's all it is. And we're going to war, and they're lying to us about the Russians, Russia, 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 and Russia's full of Christians. Governments are wicked. Oh, that's why. God's in charge of a kingdom. Until we understand it's a kingdom with a king who rules and reigns over all the earth, we're not going to figure out what's going on. God bless you. See you tomorrow.